Good to see you, church. Good to be in the house of God. I'm glad that you're here today. Are you glad that you're here today? Yes. If you're not here today, say amen. That's weird. Good, you're listening. Praise God. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word. We have something special before I bring the word of God today. But I wanted to just mention our series that we're in right now is titled Heroes. This inspiring series will bring to life an incredible story or many stories of biblical heroes who demonstrated unwavering courage, faith, and obedience in the face of impossible challenges. This series empowers us to recognize the same transformative power, spiritual power, is available to us today. Now, this series will encourage us to overcome obstacles and live victoriously. If you'd like to follow along in your notes, open your Bible app, YouVersion. It's a free app. Go ahead and get in that real quick. Open it up, bottom right corner, click on more. I love what Miss Kayla said last week, pancakes. She is pregnant. Give her credit. She's like, they look like pancakes. Glory. It's like, okay, all right. Amen. You go to the pancakes or click on the more there and then get to events. First Open Bible Church, click on that. You'll see today's notes and then you can press save. Now for a few minutes this morning before I preach today, and we have some very special guests with us for a quick ministry update. Our church has been supporting this wonderful couple for around 9 years now. Dara and Mike Rossavon have been Open Bible missionaries to Thailand since 2016. After the Vietnam War in 1975, Mike and Dara migrated to the United States with their family. Their return to Asia was not planned until they encountered Jesus. Anybody ever been there before? I didn't plan this, but I encountered Jesus, and he changed some things in my life. Hallelujah. They encountered Christ, and they were transformed instantly. So in 1996, they planted Lifesong Church of the Open Bible in Des Moines, Iowa. Later in 2007, God opened doors for ministry in Cambodia, leading to the launch of the Lifesong Learning Center. And then in 2016, Mike and Dara were appointed as Open Bible missionaries, and they were sent to Thailand, and they've since established a base there. Their base will be used as a springboard to teach and train leaders to go out and preach the good news, making disciples in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, and Myanmar. First Open Bible, will you please give Mike and Dara a warm welcome as they come to share a few minutes before I preach. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And they're adorable. Aren't they adorable? I love them, right? Oh, my wife has known them her whole entire life. Yes. They're wonderful, she's precious. She's your sister in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Harris.
You're welcome.
Good morning, First Open Bible family.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's such an honor for both of us to be here.
Thank you, Lord. First of all,
I just want to praise God. Thank you for your love, prayer, and support. And we want to be here to make known that we are not AI-generated missionaries. We are real people. So, you have not even met us, but you have been supporting us for the last 9 years, and we appreciate that very much. Just to add to what Pastor Harris was saying, yes, our family, my family came in 1975. Many of you grew up here probably heard of Governor Robert Ray, right? Yeah, he was, she said Governor Branstad, but I just let her go. She came later. Yeah, she came later, 1980, right? So, yeah. So, anyway, yes. And so this is our 50th anniversary that our families came to America. Praise God. This is the greatest country of the world. I'm telling you, in case you don't realize it, this is the greatest country of the world. And I came in 1965, but I wasn't interested in being Christian, let alone be a pastor or missionary. Anyway, I got saved at First Church of the Open Bible in 1979 and went to Iowa State University, pursue my electrical engineering. and graduated 1986. And the same year, I married the love of my life. So we are going to celebrate our anniversary. Actually, this month, July 26th, it will be our 39th anniversary. So, praise God. I felt like eternity, but I don't know. I'm sorry. All the men know what I meant. I don't want to say too much. I want if I may. I felt that the Holy Spirit prompted me to share something with you. The Bible said, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Right. And I learned that without obedience, it is impossible for us to know His will. The reason I'm saying that because the Bible instructs us to walk by faith and not by sight. And basically, we need to walk in obedience. There's many times we were in Thailand. Now, this is our 8 years now. The first 4 or 5 years, it was very difficult. We were being attacked, and things doesn't go well. And we know that Open Bible Church had support couples to Thailand 20-some years ago, and they came back home after 1 year. And I start to realize that this is not a piece of cake, so to speak. And the first 4 or 5 years, we struggled so many times. Things didn't go well. We're being attacked by the devil. Not only that, by Christian, the so-called Christian. And we want to pack up and return home. Yes, many times, Dara and I, we say, let's go back. We can't do much here. And doesn't seem to go anywhere. And every time we thought to pack our suitcase and come back home to the wonderful state of Iowa, and the Holy Spirit would prompt us, ask us this, say, Mike and Dara, if you came to Thailand by your own decisions, then you can go back home anytime you want to. But if you believe that I call you here, I'm not done with you. I have not called you to go back. So you must endure. And that's what the word said, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross. And that question that God put in us help us to keep continuing, to persevere until he calls us home. And we don't know when. And we told our director, global mission director, that we want to be in Thailand. Give us 10 years to establish the base there. And this is 8 years. And last year he went and he asked Mike, and you got 2 more years left, what are you going to do? Dara will share a little bit more when the move went, the man of vision of evangelism. Some of you part of that, I'm sure, helped build a new church for us. And we felt God, we hang on to what God said, until he called us, that I'm done with you here, you need to go back, then we'll do. We want to be obedient to his calling in our life. And I want to challenge some of you here. I've seen many young people here. I want to encourage you and challenge you to walk in obedience. And sometimes we don't know what the purpose of God have for us in the future. My life, I grew up worship Buddhism, ancestor worshiping. I didn't want anything about being Jesus freaks. I've been called that. And in ministry, I thought after I married my Dara, I thought now I can begin to live the American dreams. But God said, no, this is not the reason I bring you to America. So anyway, I want to give the rest of the time to my wife to share a little bit our ministry as well. And God bless you. Thank you so much for supporting us and being behind us. Thank you so much.
Thank Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so good to be with you here. Like Mike said, you know, we want to say thank you to Pastor Harris and Sarah and the leadership in First Church with the Open Bible, Cedar Rapids, to come behind us and partner with us for the last 9 years that we were sent out. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to go and be in the field. Actually, this is the first time we visit this church and be in the sanctuary about over 28, 29 years ago, about 25 years ago, when Mike and I started the Lifesong Church of the Open Bible in Des Moines. And we heard there was a leadership training workshop here in this church, and we got together a handful of people. That's all we had when we first started out, and we came, and perhaps there was a seed here. I don't know, but today I certainly felt the power of the presence of God in this place. Ever since this morning, the first service, and Pastor Harris said, here we go again, it's going to be another service, but it hasn't been the same. So when the presence of God comes, it's always new. New every morning, new every service. Praise God for that. We want to thank you for supporting us. The reason we want to come is we want you to know that we are the real human. In the world of AI today, you might think you may send to your support to the AI missionary. No, we are real people. Our family came from Vietnam and through Laos. Mike's family came in 1975 under the leadership of Governor Robert Ray. And when we came in the 80s, it was Branstad, so I gave the right information, but wrong beginning, I guess. Governor Robert Ray accepted the Tidam people to the state of Iowa 50 years ago. They came together. They said, we will not separate. So 250 family that none of the governor in the United States would accept them, and Robert Ray said, I'll take them. And the reason they want to come because he said they told them we were farmers. And when they got here, they said, oh, this is not the kind of farming we knew. We don't know how to use these machines, right? So the Tidam people settled in the state of Iowa all over, and I believe there were so many families here in the Cedar Rapids area. I have uncles and aunts here too. And I believe that God is doing something that beyond our imagination. And all nations came to America. At first, I thought, as a little child in Laos, I saw pictures of New York's and Chicago's and the beautiful beach of California and Florida. I have a dream that I one day want to go there. And I knew my family would never be able to send us to school. Only rich people could go to countries like that. And when the Vietnam War comes, I know most of us sitting here don't like wars because war brings pains and suffering. It kills and separates family. But you know, God used for the devil for evil, and he turns around for good. And he used the Vietnam War to bring my family to America. And I thought, here I am going to live the American life that I dream of. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to work. I'm going to earn lots of money, get married to a nice guy, and then start a family here, right? Well, something happened. My family was sponsored by a Christian Reformed church, and I got saved. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 17. That was the best decision I've ever made in my life. Yes. And none of those things that I've ever dreamed of just went away because I met something better. I received something better. We started the church. We got the call. 20 years after we pastored the Lifesong Open Bible, we thought, now we can live the American life. We can have a nice life in America. But no, he said, I'm not done with you yet. Now go back to your people. Go back to where you come from and bring the good news of Jesus Christ over there to the people that still live in darkness. They need Jesus. So we went and we started Cambodia. And then in Thailand, there was 0.06% Protestant Christians in the country of Thailand. We didn't realize what we were facing. in America, when we were pastoring a church, you know, we read the Bible, we had a Bible study, we learn about living in the Spirit, being in the Spirit. But when we go to Thailand, it is impossible not to live in the Spirit because there was such a stronghold spiritual darkness there that they were coming at us face to face. And they were coming, people were being possessed. And for the first 5 years, we couldn't do anything. There was such a stronghold. And then the move came and built this beautiful building for us. And we had to finish it because all we got was, you know, the concrete wall and the roof and the concrete floor. And I said, for the first 5 years, we were not able to convert one Thai person. We were, you know, friends and making relationship. That's all we could do, building relationship. And there was just so many things that happened against us that one day after the move left, I sat in the middle of that new building. And I was just sobbing. I said, God, I want to go home. I want to go home. I couldn't do much here. Here we don't have any money to finish this building that the move built. And we can't use it like this. And not even one soul got saved. And I said, God, I don't want to go home empty-handed. Can I just have one person? You know, I just speaking like a child. Say, God, I just want one person that would come and believe in Jesus Christ and take on this place. Maybe they can finish this building right there. And about a couple of weeks later, a lady came to church and she said, you know what? I've been searching for God in every Buddha temple in Thailand. I couldn't find one. And the other night, I had a dream that Jesus came to me and said, go to that church with a cross. And she said, oh yeah, my husband told me that he was passing by to go to church. There was American, 60 over American, a whole bunch of American people were building a building. I think they're building a new company. I'm going to go apply for a job there. And she said, oh no, that was a church. And she came on Sunday and she got saved. She got saved. She went home and told her husband, and she said, I'm not leaving you, but I'm going to become a Christian. I received Jesus. And he said, oh, Willie, I want to go see what it's like. He came on Wednesday, Bible study, prayer. He received Jesus. And they went home, and her friend said, what do you got? How come you guys are so excited? I want to go. She brought her friend on the next Sunday. She took Jesus, and she got saved. She went home and told her husband, I'm a Christian now. And he said, oh, I don't want to be a Christian, and I can't live with you anymore because I'm Buddhist. And he packed up his things and got his truck, and he went to where he came from. His hometown is about 5 hours away where we live. And he said when he come back, he came back, he told us during the time when he was driving there, he heard this voice. He said it wasn't an audible voice speaking to his ear. It was a voice that he heard through his heart. This voice said, why are you doing this to your wife? She's going on the right path. And why are you trying to block her, stopping her? And when he got to the town, he turned his car back, came home, and made up with his wife. The next Sunday, they came together in a scooter, and he received Jesus Christ into his life. And today, I only asked for one, but Jesus gave me four. Jesus can multiply. That is the theme of Open Bible. Alive and multiply. God is multiplying. I'm not doing it, but He is doing it. All we do is ask, and He will give us what we ask for. Thank you so much for your support. We praise God for what He's done. Please continue to pray for us, because there were days that when we were so down, but we felt God lifting our spirit up because somebody was praying. Please continue to pray for us, and we thank you for your support and partnership.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. What a blessing to the kingdom of God. And they are absolutely precious. Will you guys mind standing? Just you. Mike and Dora. Church, extend your hands to them. Let's pray for them. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. But God, we ask for more. Right now, Holy Spirit, fill them with Holy Spirit boldness and fire and anointing and favor. God, I thank you for the four or the five or the six. But God, we call forth the 40, the 60, the 100, the 2,000. Father, we pray that there be multiplication beyond their wildest dreams. Father, I thank you for the ones that went before them to plant the seeds. And then you have sent this couple to water, and there is going to be a great harvest. I thank you for Thailand. May it be known for the revival that is taking place in Jesus' name. There'll be freedom. There'll be all kinds of religious spirits will flee. There'll be all kinds of things that will set forth a new generation of people serving the true and living God. And we pray for there be manifestations and deliverance that will take place, and they will be free, and they'll be free indeed. And I thank you that this will be a tower and a place of light, holiness, and separation. Father, I thank you for the life that you've given them. And we pray, Holy Spirit, put angels around them as well. God, put angels around them, ministering angels and warring angels, to surround the building and wherever they go. God, we send them with a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mike and Dara are heroes of the faith in Southeast Asia and in America. Thank you for blessing us. Today's missions giving, if you want to give any money to missions, it goes directly to this missions. Everything that is marked missions online, or you can come up to the boxes up here or out there in the foyer. Anything you give today and this week until next Sunday, everything goes directly to that missions assignment. And we're going to just bless you. Church, be generous. You don't understand. Our money here is great in a lot of other countries. Your $10, $20, or $100 means the world to them. Just thousands of dollars, they can build a massive building that would take us tens of thousands of dollars. So bless them, church, and send them off. I also want to thank Miss Kayla. She was here first service. She is our youth lead, and she brought a great word last week on Esther. And we need to pray for our youth kids that go to camp tomorrow. God, may they have an anointed touch from God. May they be separated for God. May they be touched in a mighty way. May they go and be filled with the Spirit. May there be callings and giftings, and may there be dreams come forth out of their life, and may they come and make great relationships, and may they be healed from any kind of bondage or sickness, and may they be touched if they have been abused or something bad has happened to them. May they find the love and the joy of Jesus, and may it heal every broken heart in that place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. In the Bible, a hero is someone who demonstrates exceptional faith, courage, and self-sacrifice. A godly hero is someone who acts as an instrument of God's will and does whatever it takes to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, it says this, "Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ." AKA, I don't have to, but I'm willing to do what God has called me to, and I will serve the people so more people will come to know Jesus. I am available to you, God. Send me. Now, a hero of the faith we're going to speak about today went from religious murderer to the greatest missionary and church planter the world has ever seen. The Apostle Paul, a servant of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul was a prominent figure in the early Christian church. He lived about 30 to 35 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. His dramatic conversion changed human history forever. The Bible says this, and I love this. This event happened in our history. It said, Saul is going, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Then Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Because he served Yahweh. He was Jewish, so he served the Father. And Jesus replied back to Saul, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Struck from his horse with a blinding light that came from heaven, Paul was later filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was healed from his blindness. He became a key missionary to the Gentiles. Now, why does that matter? If you're not 100% Jew right now, you're not Jewish 100%, you're called a Gentile. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest heroes of our faith. Peter, one of the original 12 disciples that walked with Jesus, Peter, and then also Paul, who came later, are extremely important to us as Gentiles. Because of them, the gospel of Jesus spread to all people and not just the Jews. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I'm not ashamed," this is the Apostle Paul, "of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Paul's missionary reach, his writings, his unrelenting faith, and his endurance make him the Bible's most heroic missionary. Church, ask yourself, how often do you disqualify yourself because of your past? You say, "I can't be used by God. You don't know what I've done or where I've been." How often do we feel ill-equipped to do what God is actually calling us to do? Now, if you think your past is bad, look at the past of Saul of Tarsus. Look at a man who hated Jesus and his followers so much that he carried out murders in the name of Yahweh. Saul, or Paul, one is his Jewish name and one is his Roman name. He was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. They just shared, Mike and Dara were transformed by an encounter with Jesus. I remember that time, man, church camp matters a lot to me, between my junior and senior year, where I encountered Jesus in a special way where I was touched forever and the call of God came upon my life. I had an encounter with Christ and I was changed forever. Paul had an encounter with Jesus, and God looked past his past and saw a preacher inside of a persecutor. Paul said in Acts 20:24, he said this, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." When we think about heroes in the Bible, names like Moses or King David or Esther, they come to mind. But one man stands out as a true missionary hero. His name is the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't have a private faith, he had a public mission. And that same mission is ours today, church. Go into the world and testify of God's grace. Here's the first point. Number one, Paul was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. Paul wasn't born a missionary. He was quite the opposite. You see, Paul didn't start out preaching. He started out persecuting. He didn't start out writing epistles. Instead, he drug Christians out of their homes, and he held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen. Saul was not a good dude. If you looked at Saul of Tarsus, you wouldn't see a preacher. You'd see a murderer. But God saw a preacher inside of that persecutor. God looked past his past and saw his potential. Saul had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed absolutely everything for him. On the road to Damascus, everything changed. Paul didn't just hear about Jesus. Paul met him. And from that day forward, Paul's life was no longer his own. When you truly meet Jesus, your life is no longer just yours. You say, "Jesus, you gave all of your life, so I'm going to give you the rest of mine. I will serve you with everything I have now until I get to meet you face to face." My favorite verse in the Bible came from Paul, and I love what he says. He has to live a life worthy of the call. Live a life worthy of the call. In Acts 20:24 that we read earlier, he said, "I consider my life worth nothing to me because now it is Christ's." This is his life. "I had my own dreams, I had my own passions, but when I had an encounter with God, I realized how much I'm loved by my Father in heaven, that I will give him all of me, and no matter what, I'm not turning back. Like tonight, we get to celebrate with 19 people getting water baptized. Everyone's invited, by the way. The most we've ever had in that backyard is 175. I think we can do better. You can come. You can look online, find First Open Bible on Facebook, or you can look online. You can find that maybe on our website. We'd love for you to come out. We have a pool in someone's backyard that we're going to baptize 19 people who say, I chose Christ. I'm celebrating in front of everyone. I am giving a public declaration of a private thing that happened in my life. I won't turn back. Jesus, my life is yours. And we're going to celebrate together. Then afterward, we'll eat snacks and swim and hang out and have a great time. Hallelujah. See, Paul thought he had a purpose in life until he had a real and powerful encounter with Jesus. Paul found real purpose, and he had a Holy Spirit boldness to live that real purpose out. And I pray that for you. I was praying this morning directly for you this morning as I was preparing again to preach today. And this is what I prayed over your life. I pray that this morning you have a real encounter with Christ, that you not only find your purpose in life, but that the Holy Spirit will fill you to overflowing and you'll have a boldness to carry it out. And you're going to live with incredible eternal pursuit, and you will not look back. That you stop living for yourself and you start living for a purpose, the purpose of God and the purpose for your life. Because when Jesus changes your life, he changes your purpose, your calling, your dreams, and your destiny. Some of you feel disqualified. I mean, I can't do that. Let me tell you right now, I am not a good preacher unless I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm flowing out of the things of God. I try to run from the call because I was so afraid to get behind a pulpit. But man, when you're filled with the Spirit and you're walking out the call in your life, you can't wait to get to go and follow Christ in whatever he's called you to do. I'm excited to preach. I love to preach. Some people probably want me to stop preaching sometimes because I get filled with the Spirit and I'm like, oh, I'm preaching. Like we just start talking. I'm like, oh, I feel a sermon coming on and pass the plates. Hallelujah. We don't even pass the plates anymore, but it feels good to say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, oh, hey, God is good. I'm going to preach because I know the calling God has in my life. I like to step into it. And I said, God, I'll go anywhere, even Iowa. I will deal with the white demon every winter for the kingdom of God, right? Amen. Until you take me home, I will follow you because I had an encounter with you, because I want to do everything for you, because you gave me life. You breathed on me again. I'm alive. I'm alive. Now I'm really living, though. So you might be alive today, but you ain't living. You're not walking in the purposes and the calling of God in your life. You're just going through the motions. You think Sunday morning is the kingdom of God. It's just the beginning. God wants you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And he wants you after church today to go into the world and preach the good news. He doesn't want you just to sit here and soak and get sour. He wants to anoint you, to send you. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to have a call of God on your life. But first you have to have an encounter with him. We're thinking too small. We're living too temporal. It's time to believe greater. It's time to ask for an encounter. It's time to ask God, revive me. Revive the purposes. Speak to me. Touch me and anoint me. Now, a hero is someone who doesn't get it right all the time. A hero is someone who gets up when God calls and then they go, even to Thailand. Here's the second point. Paul lived with eternal purpose. Acts 20:24 says, Paul says, my life means nothing if I'm not doing the one thing that matters most, that's testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul traveled over 10,000 miles by foot and sea, and he didn't even have Nikes. The guy was in sandals. He wrote over a dozen letters we read in Scripture, and he started churches across nations, all for one reason: to make Jesus known, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Paul didn't chase popularity. He didn't seek wealth and prosperity. He wasn't interested in comfort. He wasn't preaching in stadiums and signing book deals. No, he was beaten with rods, thrown into prison, shipwrecked, and bitten by evil snakes. And he still didn't quit. Why? Because Paul had one focus: finish the race, complete the task, spread the gospel, live a life worthy of the call. Paul didn't live for applause. Paul lived for souls. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not just saved from something, you're saved for something. So I want to ask you some questions. What kind of race are you running? What is your aim? What tasks are you focused on? What's the main purpose and the main focus of your life? See, I can ask you right now, I can look at your schedule if you let me, and I can tell you what your aim is. I can look at your checkbook and see what's important to you. I can get in your mind for a moment and see what you think about and where you're going. And you ask yourself every single day, what are you doing and why are you doing it? What's the main purpose and the aim of your life? Number three is this: Paul suffered, but he never stopped. See, Paul endured more than most of us can imagine. We think spiritual warfare is when our Wi-Fi goes out. Oh, the devil's after me, shutting down the Wi-Fi. Hallelujah. Right? Or I didn't get my parking spot today, or somebody sat in my seat at church. By the way, if that's you, shame on you. For real, I know some of y'all do it, and I feel like a Holy Ghost spanking right now. Shame on you that someone would come into church for the first time, second time, they don't know there's assigned seats, because there's not. Amen. If somebody's sitting in your seat, praise God that they're there. How about you sit by them and meet them? Or maybe you get here a little bit earlier and get your seat then. Hallelujah. Praise God. But for real, like, if we're not welcoming in the kingdom of God, we think that's our spiritual warfare because someone sat in our seat. Listen to this. Come on, Acts 14, Paul is stoned by an angry mob, dragged out of the church, left for dead. And what does he do? The Bible tells us, he says this: he got up and went back into the city. Wait a second. He got stoned and beaten so bad that they drug him out of the city because they didn't want him to smell in the city. You got to get him out of the city. We drug him out, and he was left for dead. And Paul goes, I ain't dead yet. I still got breath in my lungs. I'm going to wrap something up. I'm going to drag my bloody stumps around, and I'm going to go preach again. We are so offendable that we're so crippled by our flesh that we don't even allow the Spirit to move in our life. If Paul can do that, man, what can we do? Some of y'all still mad that I said anything about your seat. I pray the Holy Ghost wrecks your life. How about you sit somewhere else? Guess what? I'm still gonna be standing here if you sit over here or over here. Come on now. Sometimes, do you ever just get tired about how weak we really are in our faith? We have, as American believers, we've been lullabied to sleep. I'm so thankful for when we have leadership that loves the Lord, or at least gives us some sort of moral support in what we believe at any level. That's a blessing. But sometimes it might be a curse, because then you get lullabied into doing what you're supposed to do. A little bit of persecution pushes the gospel further. The gospel spread all over the world because people were persecuted. Man, but we get persecuted one time that somebody said something nasty to us on social media, or somebody was mean to us, or called us a Jesus freak, right? And then we get so offended that we get crippled instead of it using that as fuel for the fire of God, and said, okay, the Bible says if they don't accept it, dust your feet off and go to the next one. But we just sit down and cry about it. Oh, come on now. Moving on. I ain't mad at you. I'm trying to stir something up in you. I'm trying to get a faith going in you. You don't understand the power that's inside of you. You don't understand the call of God that is inside of you, that God has called you to go forth into the nations, into the world. He has called you, every single one of you. I don't care how shy you are, how awkward you are, how weird you really are. I don't care. God can use you. If he can use me, he can use you. Trust me on that. Amen. Stir it up, your most holy faith. Woo! Next time you don't know what to say, speak in tongues if you're filled with the Spirit, right? Stir up your most holy faith. I got to get on trucking. I just feel like we just sell ourselves short. And when you sell yourself short in the calling of God, you sell God short. He died for more than you're living for. Come on now. Psh. Ah, hallelujah. I just rip it up and just flow, man. Come on. The Apostle Paul endured horrific beatings, stonings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and rejection. He never quit. Why? Because he believed the gospel was worth it. He believed people were worth it. He knew the main purpose of his life, and he lived it out no matter what. God still raises up heroes today. Not the kinds with capes and cameos. I'm talking about people with scars and faith. And the Apostle Paul was one of them. He poured himself out every sermon, every step, every scar, and it was all for Jesus. Paul is not just a figure in the Bible. He's a blueprint for boldness. Church, the mission of Christ is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your reputation. It might even cost you your life. But if the Apostle Paul can be faithful in chains, we can be faithful in freedom. Come on. Number four, and the last point is this. We are called to the same mission as Paul's. We're called to the same mission as Mike and Dara. You may never go to Rome like Paul. You may never preach in Athens. You may never minister in Thailand or Cambodia, but you can walk across the street. You can invite someone to church. You can pray with a coworker. You can be bold at your school or your job and your neighborhood. See, the Great Commission wasn't just for pastors and missionaries. It's for every believer, everywhere, for all of time. Jesus didn't save you to sit. He saved you to be sent. So many times, my faith, my faith, my faith, my faith. You know, your faith is supposed to be his faith. You share your faith with other people. See, my faith right now is your faith. Because I got to share the gospel. We got to stop being so inward focused. I had a picture years ago that our church, for a long time, at some point, has held hands and faced inward. And the Lord said, turn around, and we're going to hold hands, and we're going to face outward, right? We're still together. This is a church family. If you're not part of this family, we invite you to be part of it. Sometimes you guys are closer than my actual birth family. You're there for me in times that sometimes my birth family can't be. This is a family. But we have to go together. Our faith has to be the faith of many. My life cannot be my own. I'm slave to other people, so many will know. He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to be sent. We are his witnesses, his ambassadors, and his messengers to the world. I love this. Paul's legacy didn't die with him. He raised up leaders like Timothy and Titus, and he taught others to go make disciples. So often our faith is only our own, but who are you raising up? Jesus had 12. How many do you have that you're raising up? How many people are you discipling? How many are you pulling along? Is it just about your faith and your kingdom and all these things, or is it about the kingdom of God, that your life is to raise up the next or the past? Maybe it's somebody younger than you, older than you, whoever. You have to pour into lives. You have to help raise up. We're to make disciples. You don't just stay being a disciple. You help make disciples. Who are you helping disciple? Oh, pastor, I don't feel like I'm ready for discipleship. If you've known Jesus for 10 minutes, you know Jesus more than everyone else who has not known him for 10 minutes. You can disciple. I love that about the Apostle Paul. His life wasn't just about his mission. He also raised up other leaders so that way he could pour into them, so that way he can see fruit grow on their trees as well, not just his tree. We're here today because Paul and others like him said yes to the mission. We thank you, Apostle Paul, for saying yes to the gospel to the Gentiles. He's one of our heroes of the faith. Brent, will you please come? Now, some of us read Paul's letters and we forget this. They were written with tears and pain and scars and blood. Church, it's not easy being a hero. But I believe some people right now are being called to it. Rise up. The Apostle Paul wrote in prison these things. He's in chains. He's worshiping the Lord and he's writing things like this. Rejoice always. To live is Christ and to die is gain. And he's living in a prison and he doesn't know when he's going to get out. And he says, I still press forward to reach the goal. I know one day I'm going to get out of here. It might be dark. It might be dingy. I might feel bound. But I know one day I'm going to praise and something's going to shake off in my life. And the prison doors are going to fly open. And I'm going to go forth and do what God has called me. Until that moment, I'm going to still keep praising him as he calls forth and he anoints me and he prepares me. Because one day that's going to open and I'm going to go forward. Church, I'm going to get real with you. And you're like, Pastor, you've been too real. No. I mean, if you want a little Bible story, there's plenty of churches with it. Today we're getting real because this is real life. God loves you enough. He wants your life. He loves you enough. He wants to pour in your life and watch you pour out. I want to challenge you right now. If you've been living a safe, comfortable version of Christianity, I pray today's the day you step into your calling. Today you can say yes to a real encounter and a real journey with Jesus. If you've never truly had an encounter with Jesus like Paul did, I pray that this moment, and I've been praying this all morning and all week, that this is your Damascus Road moment. Somebody has to be knocked off their horse today to get at the knees of Jesus, to see him eye to eye, and he can speak and breathe life into you so you know your calling so you can go forth. He might even have to blind you for a moment so you stop for a moment and then you allow his anointing to let scales fall off and then you open your eyes and see new. Every hero is faced with a moment in life. Every hero is faced with a fork in life. And that fork in their life is a road to their destiny. Do I go left? Do I go right? Will I go left and live for myself and all the things that I've desired and all the things that I've wanted? It's all about me. Or will I go right and say, I love you enough, God, I'm going to live for other people. I'm going to live for the kingdom of God. I will be a slave to other people and do whatever you've called me so they might know. Church, what are you going to choose? Who are you going to live for? If Paul, a broken and perfect man, could change the world through surrendered obedience, then so can you. Because we need more Pauls in this generation. Let's not be spectators, for we have been called to be participants in God's mission. Our task is not finished because the whole world has not heard yet. Church, will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. As we come to a close, I want to invite you. You don't have to come, but if you don't come, I've asked that you don't speak to your neighbor right now. Right now is a time of ministry. The Holy Spirit is going to pour into people. He's going to speak to them. He's going to anoint them. He's going to touch them. There's going to be a fire in their life. There's going to be a fire that's shut up in their bones, that something's going to be poured out. God is going to reveal and refire old things, and he's going to do new things in people's life. There's going to be a call that's coming forth. So I'm going to invite you. Worship, or prayer teams, can you come up to the front? There's two options today. You can go to one of these prayer teams, or you can come to the altar. And here's four things that I want to challenge you in. Number one is this: come to the altar, come to a prayer team if you need a fresh encounter with Jesus. Number two, maybe you want God to reignite your purpose in your life. Or number three, if you're ready to say, I'm finally ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me. And here's the last one: if you're ready to live for more, come now. Come right now. Come right now. I'm gonna pray for you. Come right now. If that's you. Hallelujah. Don't spectate, participate. Stir up a fire in them, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you pour out in a supernatural way right now. God, I pray that you stir up the things of God, that you touch them and anoint them. Just get to the altar. Spend time with God right now. You can kneel at the altar. You can stand at the altar, whatever. I'm just praying over you right now, and we're going to let God work. The Holy Spirit right now. Just get in a position to receive from him right now. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in and through their life. Get to a prayer team if you need, and they're going to lay hands on you and anoint you and watch God work in your life. God, I pray that right now they're saying yes to you, God. And they're saying yes to the call of God on their life, that they are willing to go forth. And even if things aren't easy, they're going to still press forward and receive the prize. I thank you for the touch. I thank you that you're birthing new things. You're reigniting old things, that you're touching lives.